Welcome to episode 14 of the Soda Pop Podcast. Today, our guest is the director of UNA Bands, Dr. Lloyd Jones.
How do you do?
My name's Mark. Lainey couldn't be here today. We're going to miss her, but we're going to go ahead and get through this episode. So we're going to be talking a little bit about the President's Concert today, and also just a little bit about Dr. Jones himself. So let's go ahead and get into some questions. So first of all, how long have you been director of bands here at UNA?
I've been the lead director for 19 years. I'll start my 20th season this fall with the marching band, and that'll be the 70th season of the UNA marching band.
Wow, that's crazy. I always kind of wanted to know, how is it like, you know, being the director of a band that's, you know, as big as, you know, the Pride of Dixie is?
It's a lot of fun. There are certainly challenges with that many people, but we have such high-quality students. They're just amazing people to be around. They're problem solvers, and they make the machine run. The students are absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, I've actually met one of your drum majors. I don't remember his name, but he came and spoke to one of the honor societies I'm part of, and he's a very good leader, and I could tell just from that. So I think it's probably, I mean, you could probably back me up on this, but I think it's probably good that you have, you know, students who are able to lead, and I think on the collegiate level, that's a lot easier to find than, you know, say, being part of a high school marching band.
Sure, the maturity helps, and we work really hard at developing leaders within the program, so we never hit a lull. We always want to have good leaders and young leaders who are coming up through the ranks. And students, I feel like the students come here expecting that type of experience. We don't have graduate assistants with our band. Our undergrad students actually function, when they're older, they function kind of like grad assistants. They are helpful in many ways.
Wow, that's kind of cool, actually. So moving on, your father was also the director
of Pride Dixie.
So how does it feel to be able to kind of step into his footsteps, you know, before you?
It was completely unexpected. My first degree was in graphic design, and I worked in advertising for a couple of years and found that I would jump at any chance to get back involved with music. And so I decided to go back to school and finish out my music degree. I had a minor, and I was going to develop that to a major. And so I was leaving UNA to go be a director at a North Alabama high school band. And I did not know that my father was going to retire. And he met with the president and said, I'm done. I've got enough years in, and I can make more money retired than I can teaching. So it's time to retire. And the president contacted the department chair and said, hey, get Lloyd Jones and see if he wants to do an interim year, just one interim year while we get through this, and he can apply if he wants to. And so I did that first year and then reapplied and was fortunate enough to be selected by the committee, and just never expected in my wildest dreams to end up back at UNA. And then once I came here, I didn't feel like it would be a long job, but I ended up staying. I love the area. I wouldn't want to raise my family anywhere else, and the university has been wonderful. I'm just glad I got the opportunity when I did, and I always felt like it was, you know, if you can solve problems for people, you're going to create opportunities for yourself. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that's what happened to me. And so it's been very rewarding. I enjoy teaching here at the University of North Alabama.
Oh, yeah. So you said before your first degree wasn't in music. So
right.
What kind of, you know, everybody's story is different on what brings them to music. What is your story? What got you interested in music?
Well, I grew up around it. I was always around concert bands, jazz groups, marching bands. I was always attending performances. But from an early age, I was always sketching as well. And when I came to UNA, I was actually a pre-engineering major. Moved into graphic design from there due to some circumstances. They actually stopped offering that pre-engineering track. And so I moved into graphic design and was still performing music, got a minor in music. And so I was getting my music fix along the way. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think about I would want to follow my father's footsteps. I thought, well, I'd probably like to go a different direction. So I did. Eventually came back around to music. So it's a very natural thing. And the visual arts and audible arts go hand in hand. There's a lot of overlap. And when you get down to it, it's showbiz, and showbiz is just that. It's marrying the visual side with the audible side and creating something that is very interesting for your viewer or your listener.
Uh-huh. So while we're still talking kind of about, you know, the Pride of Dixie, you know, how does it feel to have such, you know, strong community support? Because I know as you've been director of the band since before I was born. So I know, like, as far back as I can remember, you know, me going to UNA games, we used to go and wait just to see the band at halftime. And that would be our main show. Like, we could care less on what the score of the game was, but we went to see the band. How does it feel that a lot of people in Florence go just to see the band?
Well, it's very humbling. I'm very proud that they enjoy the work the students do. But it also gives you a sense of dedication to the group. There are a lot of alumni in the area, and they're in all different types of jobs in the business world, in the education world, in the medical world. They're literally in every facet of life in this area. About 70% of our band members are not music majors. So they're on a scholarship, playing music, performing for the school, but they're getting a degree in other areas. So we run across them literally everywhere we go. And I am delighted that they will stick around and enjoy the shows. We have wonderful crowds at UNA. It's really a great band school, and it's a great stadium to play in. Sure. Makes a band sound good. So we really enjoy that we have such great crowds. You don't see that everywhere you go, and we're very fortunate here in the Shoals.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, going off of that, you know, I moved out of Florence when I was, you know, maybe 15 years old to a small town called, you know, Montevallo.
Mm-hmm.
That's south of Birmingham. And there were people there who I didn't, you know, I grew up in Florence, so I didn't think that anybody else would know about it.
Sure.
But I go there and, you know, I start hearing some of the band students there talk about how, you know, good UNA's band is. And I just think it's crazy that you guys are so good that your, you know, word of how good you are is literally spread all throughout the state. And I think that's a really great thing. And, you know.
Well, that's one of our missions, is to spread the word about UNA and to let people know what a wonderful university we have here. And so we go out and do a lot of performances. If our team goes to Texas or Missouri or someplace far off where we're not going to travel with the band, we'll go to regional performances like at marching contest, and we'll be the exhibition band at the end of the night. And our sole purpose in doing that is to recruit students to UNA. Now, they may be a band student in high school, and they come here, and they're in a completely different academic area, and that's okay. It's them finding out about the University of North Alabama. So hopefully what we do is spread the word and let people know that we've got a product up here in the Shoals that's worth taking a look at.
Mm-hmm. So in addition to the Pride of Dixie, you're also the director for the jazz band, mm-hmm. the studio lab band, and the jazz combo. So were these groups around, you know, before you came, or did you play like a kind of a part in starting these groups?
Well, they had a jazz band program. They had a studio jazz band years ago and had a small library for that. And when I got here, I decided I would like to start that studio jazz band back up. Now, the way that differs from a standard jazz band, a jazz band is a big band, trumpets, trombones, saxes, and a rhythm section. The studio jazz band adds flutes, clarinets, and French horns, and an extra percussionist. So it gives you a lot of variety in the timbres that you can use, and you can play just about any type of music there is. The reason I wanted to bring that group back was jazz is our American art form, musically speaking. And if we're not teaching a wide variety of students about jazz, they're certainly not going to teach it to the next generation. So we started the studio jazz band back up so more students could get an experience in a very selective area, which happens to be our American art form. Now, the jazz combo came about when I actually was the assistant director. We just had a need for a smaller group that could provide music at a lot of different functions and just be very versatile. So we started the combo, which is four horns, a rhythm section, and a singer, and we call that the Starlighters now. The reason we call it the Starlighters was back in the 50s and 60s, there was a student-run dance band on campus called the Florence State Starlighters. So we just pulled that name and didn't want that to be lost to history, and we renamed the combo the Starlighters, and they'll play at functions around town, they'll play at weddings, they'll play at receptions on campus. It's just another experience the students can get and even make money while they do it. It's a neat thing.
That's really cool, actually. What are the kind of like the turnouts for those smaller groups?
Well, usually the small groups are drawn from within the larger groups. Mm-hmm. So that's where most of the students audition from. However, our auditions are always open. Any student on the campus can come audition for one of our groups. They don't have to already be in the band program. Now, it's just natural that most of the students would be from the band program because they're kind of in the mix, and that's where their interests lie. But Every year, it seems, we'll have somebody from another degree field, somebody we just didn't even know until they come audition, will make it into one of the ensembles, and that's fine. We don't close the door to them. I think having more diverse students makes us a better group.
Yeah. Before we move on a little bit, I kind of want to do kind of something new that we've never really done before. Since you've been here for so long, what is the craziest experience that you've had with the band?
Well, there have been several. I think last fall tops it off, though. At the very first opening game of the season, we were hosting what we call the Marching Band Extravaganza. That's where about 800 high school students come to UNA in the morning, and we meet at the stadium, and we rehearse a show that we perform with them. Now, they've already got the music, and they can practice it before they get here, but we put it all on the field to entertain our audience. And that night at the game, we had it was a little over 2 hours of a lightning delay and thunderstorms. And eventually, most of those students had to leave. They were on a schedule, too, when they had to leave here and get home, because they're from all over North Alabama. Some of them are from south of Birmingham. So their parents are here. All the students are here. And we go into a delay just before kickoff. Mm-hmm. And the game started a little over 2 hours late. And so by the time we got to halftime, we just had maybe 100 students there with us. And I've never experienced anything like that. Now, I couldn't blame them for having to leave. They're on a schedule and they need to go. So we're going to try to resurrect that again this fall and get even more students here and hope that we don't have lightning delays. But you just have to be ready for anything and be able to roll with the punches, because it's always a kind of controlled chaos when you have that many people. You just organize it the best you can, rehearse it the best you can, and put a product out there on the field. And it'll be interesting to see what we can pull off this fall.
So you... Talking more about that extravaganza, how do you feel like that's kind of, do you think that that could be one of the things that you guys could use to help bring even more,
Oh, yes.
High school kids in? How do you think that they feel, when they get invited to come be part of this extravaganza?
Well, a lot of the kids in our program currently were, once upon a time, they were members of the extravaganza group when they were in high school. And I've always felt that the interaction that a high school student has with our current students is one of the most valuable things there is, because we have such nice people and quality people in the program, and they're from all different degree areas. And so a high school student getting to meet a current UNA student is incredibly valuable. And we gear the entire event towards having some time to just spend talking with our current members. Those high school kids can talk to our current members and just find out who they are. And if that gives them a connection to UNA, they're more likely to look at UNA seriously when they're looking at schools.
So we're going to move on to the president's concert here. So the concert is a tradition here at UNA. How long has that been going on?
The first one was in 2004, so 15 years. This will be our 15th.
Okay. So can you maybe give us a little insight on the concert and what all goes into it, and maybe even some pieces that you guys might be playing this year?
Sure. We try to highlight all of the major components of the band program, with the exception of the marching band, because that's only in the fall. So the concert opens with the UNA Wind Symphony, which is a symphony of wind players and percussion. That is the flagship concert group at UNA. They play some very hard literature. This year they'll be opening the concert with Esprit de Corps, which was written for the United States Marine Band. And then we're going to do a salute to baseball entitled Pastime. It's a really interesting piece. It's based around the tune Take Me Out to the Ball Game, which we all know. Since we were kids, we've heard that song. Mm-hmm. But the composer puts in a lot of musical devices that represent milestones in baseball. For instance, at measure 19, everything stops, because Don Larson was number 19, and he pitched the only perfect game in World Series history in 1956. At measure 60, the flute section plays the notes B-A-B-E for Babe Ruth. So the composer uses all types of devices to allude to the milestones of baseball. It's a really fun piece. Now, also on that concert, we'll have the UNA Symphonic Band, which is about a 130-piece group. This is the largest concert group. They're doing a lot of neat material, including American Salute. We'll have a special guest conductor on one song, Dr. Jimmy Simpson, who was actually a director here and then department chair for 34 years. He retired back in 2007. We're really proud to have him back to conduct a piece. And of course, we always salute the United States Armed Forces during that portion of the concert. And we'll also closed that part of the concert with the national hymn, God of Our Fathers. A lot of people don't know that we have a national hymn and a national march. There are a lot of things that, you know, our United States government has declared to be so. And so that's a song that's very near and dear to our military personnel. And so we'll close out the concert with that. We've got a little something special we're doing with that, which I think the crowd will enjoy. And then you'll hear the UNA Studio Jazz Band on the concert and a newer group, the Singing River Steel. It's a steel drum band, which is going to play during one of the intermissions. So it's a really wide variety of music and musical styles. It's something for everybody. Anybody that goes to that concert will enjoy something there that evening.
That's kind of interesting, actually. I don't think I've ever actually seen, you know, a steel drum group. I think that's going to be really fun. But, so you say all these different groups are a part of it. Has that, you know, always been so, or have you, like, kind of opened it up more to different groups as the years have gone on?
Well, when we started the concert, we'd already developed our UNA Wind Symphony. And so those two groups were on the concert, and then we added the studio jazz band, and we added the steel band, and we've had different types of small groups like that steel band perform between segments of the concert. So we have large segments, and we have small intermissions where we'll have a small group perform, so we try to get a wide variety there. That concert takes place on the same weekend as our University of North Alabama Invitational Honor Band. So again, it's when we have a lot of high school students on campus, and they get to see our students performing, and they get to talk with them after the concert. So we want to make sure every performance has a recruitment side to it as well, and that there's as many people there as we can get to enjoy it. So it serves a lot of purposes, and as the years go by, I'm sure the concert will morph into, you know, slightly different types of performances. But as long as it's bringing people to campus, and we get such good support from President Kitts and his administration, we want to make sure every performance we give is valuable to our university.
Oh, yeah. And I think that, you know, the variety that you guys are putting into this is going to be really good for, you know, what you're aiming to do, especially with, you know, with recruiting high schoolers. Because I know when I was in high school, if, you know, I wasn't in the music program, so if I tried to sit through, you know, a long performance, it would, you know, it kind of make me a little tired.
Sure.
But I, you know, I'd try my best to stay awake because I was enjoying it, but it was just naturally, it's just so long. So I think with the different variety, you know, having that steel drum band in there and having all the different, you know, groups of smaller bands in there is, I think that's a really good idea. And I think more people should actually implement that even, you know, on the high school level too, because music is a lot more enjoyable than, you know, what it seems to be when you're younger.
Sure.
Which is crazy, because I've gotten older and I've learned to enjoy more of the, you know, classical style music, which is what, you know, younger kids are always like, classical music, that's gross.
Sure. Yeah.
But I think if there were more variety, like you guys are doing for this president's concert, I think more people would be enjoying it, and more people would be drawn to come here and be a part of it, which is what is the goal, and I think that's really smart.
It's a lot of fun. I tell you, it's, if we can whet the palate of any audience member to seek out a different type of music or to just attend a different type of performance, I think we've achieved our goal. All of the arts have something to offer, and all the different types of groups have something to offer. And when you get down to it, it's pretty much just showbiz. You want to keep changing the format, keep your audience entertained, and keep them interested in what you're doing.
Right. So rolling into our last question, do you have any advice for those who have a love of music that want to make it into a career, kind of like you have, and maybe for some high schoolers who are trying to move up to the collegiate marching level but are kind of nervous too?
Sure.
Do you have any advice for, you know, those groups of people?
I would advise, and I do advise, all high school students, no matter where you go to school, check into their band program. There are always performance opportunities, and you don't have to be the best player in your band to go get in a college band. Many players in university bands were just average players in high school, but they pursue it in college and become very valuable members. You don't have to be the first chair player at all. I was never a first chair player when I was in high school, and I just went ahead and pursued it anyway. It's kind of natural for me, but you're going to find so many nice people that you come in contact with through a music program or a band program, that I would encourage them, no matter what your degree field is, check into being part of a music program. A lot of times you can get scholarships that'll help you go to school and get you whatever degree you're working on. Mm-hmm. And then you may decide that you want to pursue it as a career. And there are numerous opportunities, especially in the world of music education. As long as we have football in the United States, we're going to have marching bands too. And oftentimes that's how a music program gets started. And then after a few years, as it grows, it branches out into the other areas. And so you have more offerings. But it's a really unique thing to the United States. Nowhere else do we have marching bands like we do in the United States. Mm-hmm. And so it's an interesting activity, and it's an entertaining activity. It's a lot of fun to be a part of, and you learn a lot of life lessons being involved. So I'd encourage any student, no matter where you go to college, of course I want them to come here, but no matter where they go, they need to just get involved.
That actually kind of brings another question to me. You said that, you know, you don't have to be the best player. Mm-hmm. Have you ever, like, have you guys taken somebody who doesn't know, you know, anything about music and transformed them into, you know, being part of your band?
Sure. Happens all the time. I can remember one year I had a young lady who, for personal reasons at home, just had to leave school and go home. And almost as a joke, I just mentioned to somebody who was watching a band practice that day over on Pine Street, I said, "Hey, I've got a position. Would you like to take it?" And she said, "Well, yeah, I think that'd be fun." I didn't even ask her if she'd played an instrument. And I said, "Well, let me introduce you to our clarinet section leader, and she'll get you squared away out there, and then we'll get you enrolled in the course." She had never played a horn in her life. She learned how to carry it the first year, and then she started taking private lessons from me, and she learned how to play it. And she was in the band for 3 years until her course schedule just dictated that she couldn't be a part. But I see her all the time, and every time she tells me, I'd value the time I spent in the band like nothing else when I went to college. And that's not the only time it's happened. It's happened several times where people are just out there watching, and there an opportunity becomes available, or maybe a friend tells them, "Hey, we've got a spot open if you want to jump in there." And all of a sudden, they're a member of the band, and they get to see a whole different world, which they were not aware of. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, those are your most dedicated members because they really value the experience.
Right. And I know that, you know, many people, myself included, have always been kind of nervous to do stuff like that, especially when it comes to such a, you know, big program like, you know, the Pride of Dixie, because, you know, it kind of sometimes it feels like you're going to fail, even though in reality there's a lot of room for you not to fail.
Sure.
And I think that, you know, for more people who are like that to just reach out and try and be part of these things, don't get discouraged if you don't know how to play. You could always learn, you know, as long as your body can move, you can learn an instrument. So
that's true. If they're willing to work hard, we're certainly going to give them an opportunity.
Definitely. So you guys definitely check out the Pride of Dixie, all the other bands, jazz bands, studio jazz, jazz combo, all those bands. Check them out. Go to the President's Concert. It's going to be Friday, April 12th at 7 p.m. It's in Norton Auditorium on the Unite campus. So come check it out. For those of you high schoolers who are looking to march, even if you don't think that you want to, come check out the Pride of Dixie. I guarantee you'll change your mind. But anyways, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.
This podcast has been brought to you by UNA School of the Arts, produced by Mark Gallegos and Lainey Green. Special thanks to Monica Collier and the SOTA staff.